Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you are here joining with me today for a nice cup and a nice sip of the hot brew. Mmm. It never gets old. It's good magic. Well, today is Monday, the 26th of June, 2023, and it is 5:25 in the morning. It's a wonderful time sitting out here on the porch. I just had a couple of our ducks make a flyby pass past our back deck, and it was like, wow, right on cue kind of a thing. It was so warm, so hot. I think the temperature got up to like 94 or 96 yesterday, but today after we had the things cooling off very quickly, after sunset, it is now probably around 65 degrees. We've got one of those big round outdoor thermometers that isn't quite accurate, but good enough for government work. So it just feels good out here, and just enjoying the rooster crowing. And there goes two ducks making a flyby again. What are they doing? They normally don't quite fly like that, but they, oh my gosh, they're just making a great big loop. I thought they landed somewhere because I saw another couple of ducks on the ground, but they're just making a great big loop over the farm and over the neighbors, so maybe they'll come by again. Oh my. Well, we had a great weekend here. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they came down from the west suburbs of Chicago. My brother-in-law's been down here before to the farmstead, but this was the first time that my sister-in-law, Kathleen, came down. Since we have put our home here in the lodge and added all the animals and really made a lot of investment into the farmstead. And so she was just amazed. She was like a kid in a candy store taking pictures over everything. I think one of the fun things that both of them did was with my wife, they went and gathered eggs. And just the idea of looking in the box, oh, there's an egg, you know. They just enjoyed it. I am so glad that they came down, had a fun time. We took them over to Casey, and you've heard me talk about Casey before. They've got the little motto, town motto of big things in a little town, and they have all these giant items. Many of them made it into the Guinness Book of World Records. So they really had a lot of fun there. If you've never been to Casey, you need to go, and just it's a nice fun afternoon experience. You walk through downtown and you see the world's largest functioning mailbox. They have an extremely long pencil. They've got a yardstick that is 36 feet long instead of 36 inches long. Oh goodness, what all else do they have? The world's largest wind chimes. What was at one time the world's largest knitting needles that were used to actually do knitting. It's just a fun place with lots of little boutique shops that have opened up, selling, kind of like, ice cream shop, candy store, couple of restaurants. So it's revitalized their downtown, and it's just a lot of fun. They really enjoyed that as well. So glad they made it. And it was just a fun weekend out here on the farm, visiting and sharing what we get to enjoy.
Excuse me.
Big yawn came on. Well, what I'd like to do today is actually talk a little bit on the specific kinds of mental health topics. I was trying to think, what should I talk about today? And so I just went to Google and I asked it, what is trending in mental health searches? And Google responded back. Actually, I guess this is an old article that it's connected to, a CNN article from Christmas Day 2022. So it's about 6 months old. Actually, 6 months old yesterday, I guess. And it said Google users asked how to handle stress, how to stop a panic attack, how to cure depression, and focus with ADHD. They also looked up good mental health practices for little ones with searches for breathing exercises for kids. Well, there's several different little things there, but the one thing that kind of jumped out at me is how to stop a panic attack and good breathing exercises. So I guess a place to start, if I want to kind of jump into this topic, which I did a lot of teaching and training and therapy with people regarding anxiety over the years, is what exactly is a panic attack? And when you ask someone who's having one, a lot of times they describe physiological symptoms that are terrifying, you know, and they don't understand why they're experiencing it, other than whenever I'm in a certain situation, when I'm in a crowd or when I'm around other, you know, new circumstances or new people, or maybe it's when I'm in a place where I can't easily get away from, you know, any possible danger there, or, you know, associated with, you know, being in heights or being over the water, or, you know, some sort of trigger, some sort of an external situation. A lot of times that's when people report having these horrible feelings that just come flooding over them that they describe as a panic attack. And, you know, without getting into the big diagnostic criteria from the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the DSM, what I'd like to do is kind of explain what I learned over the years. You know, when people talk about a panic attack and you're able to ask them, you know, what are the symptoms you're experiencing? They often report, hold on a second. Need some more coffee. Just a moment. Had a tickle. What they will often describe is symptoms that would include a pounding or a racing heart, feeling kind of nauseous in their stomach. They break out in a sweat. And probably those are the most frequent symptoms that they report. They may feel like they're trembling or shaking. They may have abdominal distress, diarrhea, but those first few symptoms often associate with the heart, with breathing, with sensations, you know, in their face and sweating. And so when they have that, they identify what it is that's causing it, and they often try everything they can do to get away from it. Well, let's stop and look at what are those symptoms and how people are interpreting them. Because if you have, you know, a racing, pounding heart, if you're breaking out in sweat, if you're feeling nauseous, and then if you start having like a numbness or tingling sensation that can happen in your arms, because, you know, you're, you know, from this experience, well, those sound like sounds of a heart attack, don't they? Yeah. And heart attacks are no light thing. They're serious business. People routinely die from heart attacks. But a lot of people who go in reporting a heart attack are told, no, you weren't having a heart attack. You were having a panic attack. So what the heck is causing these symptoms? Well, in your body, sitting on top of your kidneys, are glands that are called the adrenal glands. They produce adrenaline, which is a very powerful hormone that works on muscle tissue. Now, muscle tissue is tissue that actually moves. Some you can control, like your arm muscles, your leg muscles. Others you don't have direct control over, like stomach muscles, intestine muscles, heart muscles. Those are involuntary. You don't get to control those. And so this, the adrenaline affects muscle tissue and it makes it work harder, stronger, and faster. And the reason it does that is adrenaline is supposed to be released when your brain identifies a life-threatening danger. So, it, you know, if I'm just sitting out here on my back porch and let's say I came home and I had forgotten my keys and I'm locked outside and I'm just waiting for my wife to show up to open up the house. And so I'm just sitting back here, not paying any attention. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see something. I turn my head and coming up onto the deck is a mountain lion, is a big cat. And it's looking at me to stalking me. That would be a life-threatening danger. It would be a shock because while, you know, mountain lions don't normally live around here, there have been reports of some that have been going through the area. But if I saw one, oh my gosh, what would I see that as a life-threatening danger? Yes, my brain would assess that and from my knowledge go, Larry, you're in some really serious trouble. You could die from this encounter. So my body, in order to protect me, would activate the parasympathetic nervous system, or what we commonly call your fight or flight response. And you need a burst of energy, or what feels like a burst of energy, but it's actually the release of a hormone that would make your muscles go harder, stronger, and faster so that you could either flee from the situation or fight your way out of the situation. And so the body would then cause a release, a significant release of adrenaline, and give me the power to leap off the deck and run to a safe location as fast as I could. So, because I ain't going to fight a big cat. Unless he gets on me, then I'm going to fight for my life and use those same chemicals. Then after the danger is gone, your body, you know, calms down from the experience. So if you're in a true life-threatening situation, that's what adrenaline does. But what happens for people who have panic attacks is for some reason, the part of the brain that works and identifies things as a life-threatening danger activates on things that truly are not a life-threatening danger. Now, why would it do that? Well, there could be a variety of different reasons, but a lot of times it's because there is something from the past where there was a life-threatening danger and there was something associated with it that you find in other situations. And then that becomes a trigger for the reaction. Let me use the example of, let's say a woman is out walking in a big dark parking lot at night. You know, she was got off shift at a mall and she was one of the last ones out of the building and she's walking out there and she hears footsteps that are following her. She can't see anything. She's trying to get to her car and she is assaulted. Now that's a life-threatening danger. But what were the circumstances? What are the things associated with the assault? Because the assault is a life-threatening danger, but what were things that were happening at the same time? Darkness, empty parking lot, trying to get to a car, maybe the smell of the cologne that the attacker was wearing. Those things can get attached to the memory of the trauma, the memory of the attack. But those things in and of themselves aren't dangerous. Darkness by itself is simply the absence of life. An empty parking lot by itself is not a danger. A particular cologne is not a danger. But now let's say the person years later, they're in a grocery store, it's daylight, it's, you know, noon, you know, they're doing some shopping over their lunch break, and they happen to pass somebody in the aisle that's wearing the same cologne that the attacker did, or a similar enough one that it triggers memories, and all of a sudden the person starts experiencing the effects of the adrenaline. They start getting the pounding heart because the adrenaline affects the heart muscles and needs to pump more blood. They start breathing faster, having, you know, in essence, hyperventilation, because you need to oxygenate the blood. And that diaphragm muscle that lets you breathe starts going harder and stronger and faster. They start feeling queasiness in their stomach because the stomach muscles are doing things that normally they don't do because of the adrenaline and a host of other things. You start sweating because the blood, warm blood, is being pumped at a stronger pressure because, you know, of the heart racing to get the skin warm, and now it's activated the sweat glands. You have all this stuff happening, not because you're in danger, but because in this example, the woman smelled the cologne that her attacker used several years before, and her body is reacting because the body learned and associated those things with the danger. Now she's experiencing this in the middle of a grocery store with a cart full of groceries at 12:15 in the afternoon, and there's no danger, and she's wondering what the heck is going on. That's what a panic attack is. There's 13 symptoms of a panic attack that's listed in the DSM. And all of those symptoms are either the direct effects of adrenaline, like racing heart, or a secondary effect, like the sweating caused by the primary effect of more blood flowing through the capillaries, or it's a misinterpretation. You know, where, for example, a person's feeling this and they think they're having a heart attack when they're not, and the heart attack is a life-threatening danger, and so that can trigger even more adrenaline to be released. So that's what a panic attack is, and most people don't realize that those are the symptoms and the cause, primary cause of a panic attack. So what the heck do we do about it? Well, quickly, in a nutshell, we need to deactivate the sympathetic nervous system, your fight or flight, by activating your parasympathetic. The one that gives you the panic attack is the sympathetic nervous system. The way you get out of it is the parasympathetic. See, the sympathetic we call fight or flight. The parasympathetic is called, we call, the rest and digest reaction. The parasympathetic is how you live, you know, on a day-to-day basis. You're not around life-threatening dangers. You're out here on a peaceful farm, and it's relaxing, and there's no dangers going on. The worst danger is getting pecked or attacked by a rooster, but you can always get away from them. But this is when your body is calm, cool, collected. Your functions are working normally. Everything is fine. It's the parasympathetic that should only be activated in a true life-threatening situation. So, and here's the interesting thing. It's like a coin. One side of the coin is your fight or flight. The other side is the rest and digest. You cannot have both sides of the coin up, facing up at the same time, can you? If one's facing up, the other is facing down. So if you're in fight or flight, your parasympathetic is asleep facing down. So if you have a way of flipping that coin over, flip that coin over, then the parasympathetic becomes active and the sympathetic kind of goes to sleep. Now, it's going to take a while for those chemicals to get metabolized out of your system. That's why panic attacks, they last, you know, roughly around 20 minutes for, you know, a person to start feeling better. And sometimes it may last an hour till they feel reset. But what are ways to get the parasympathetic activated again? Well, I tell people that the first thing you need to do is identify what's really happening to you. That you're, you know, look around. If there's no life-threatening danger, you're having what? A panic attack. So you tell yourself, this is just a panic attack. This is just my parasympathetic system. And what I'm having is an adrenaline reaction. You see, I don't really like the word panic attack because when you say it, it just, oh my gosh, it's a panic attack. Well, what a better description is, this is a adrenaline reaction. It's an adrenaline reaction. That's what it is. Everything else is the same. If you release adrenaline, you're going to have these symptoms regardless of the situation you're in. And if you understand what it is, you don't panic over it. You don't freak out over it because you're interpreting it accurately. See, the misinterpretation of an adrenaline reaction where you think, oh my gosh, I'm having a panic attack. Oh, the world's falling. I can't go out here anymore. I can't do this. I tried going to a grocery store. I can't do it anymore. I thought I could go, you know, to this dinner party. I can't do that anymore. You see what you're doing? You're ramping up your belief about it in an inaccurate way. So you tell yourself, it's just an adrenaline reaction. The next thing you need to do is yawn. Now, a lot of people say, just practice slow breathing. And yes, that's helpful because you're helping to regain control of your breathing. It stops the hyperventilation. It stops the dizziness feelings. But I found that what the yawning does is it actually sends a behavioral message to your brain, activating the parasympathetic. It sends a message that confirms to the brain you're not in danger. So what I have people do is yawn, make yourself yawn. Some of them will be natural, some will be fake, but you make yourself yawn 10 times in a row, 10 yawns in 2 minutes. That's 5 yawns a minute. So what are you doing? You're redirecting your focus to yawning. And how many times in a life-threatening situation can you picture somebody just start yawning over and over again? Oh, there's that mountain lion. It's going to attack me anytime. I probably ought to get away, but just a moment, I got another yawn going. You know, that's never going to happen. So if you're yawning, that's telling your brain, hey, we're out of a life-threatening danger, whether it was or wasn't. We're out of that. And so the parasympathetic can get activated. And when you do multiple yawns in a row, your body will release chemicals to counter the adrenaline. It releases endorphins, which are a narcotic-like calming chemical in your body. It will release the endorphins and it will help you to calm down mentally and physically. So you tell yourself, this is just an adrenaline reaction. You start yawning multiple times in a row, 10 times in 2 minutes. And while you're doing it, pay attention and reconfirm to yourself, everything is calm. Everything is safe. I'm having this not because I'm in danger, but because my brain has associated something with a past danger. And it's amazing how fast somebody in a full-blown panic attack can regain control by simply doing repetitive yawning like that. Now, the third thing that I would recommend is what you need to do now that the panic attack is over. And this is where therapy comes in. Whether you kind of do self-therapy or whether you're doing, you know, going to a therapist. But, oh, there comes another two ducks flying by. Sorry, got distracted. But the most effective therapy that I like, and there's other effective therapies for panic and trauma, is now I'm blanking out. It's not cognitive behavioral therapy. It's a cognitive process therapy. Cognitive process therapy, CPT. And there's a book out there that you can download that's on it by the three people that developed this method. If you're big and digging on the internet, you can find some of the early versions that are in PDF format that was used by therapists with the Department of Veterans Affairs. And you can find those because it's public domain. It's a government document. But anyway, this therapy teaches you how to assess and retrain your thinking so that you are not thinking about these your beliefs in an inaccurate way. You're able to better assess situations, and you can start putting those new beliefs, those corrected beliefs, into practice in areas where you do have triggers, where you have had these adrenaline reactions. So those would be the three things that that I recommend. You know, first, you need to understand what is actually happening. Do the repetitive yawning 10 times in 2 minutes to help, you know, neutralize the current panicky situation, the current adrenaline release. And then do some cognitive processing therapy so that you can change the way you think about these situations. And this is really valuable, especially if you've been suffering from, you know, panic disorder, panic attacks, phobias, PTSD for a number of years. So there's a little tidbit to help you out on your way. And if you have kids that are having anxiety, and just do the yawning with them. Yawning never hurts anybody unless you're unless you fall asleep while driving. So don't do that. But yeah, you can. What I would do with people in my office the first time doing it, I would say, okay, match me yawn for yawn. And I'd be looking at the clock on the wall, keeping track, and I would yawn with them. And because I did this often enough, by the third or fourth yawn, I could feel the endorphin being released in my body. It felt like it started at the top of my head and just kind of flowed down like, you know, some liquid flowing down over my body. That was the sensation I felt inside. And, you know, the other person may not feel anything till like yawn, you know, 8, 9, or 10, and then they may feel a release starting to happen. But you see, you can do this with your kids. Just have your, if they're feeling anxious, panicky, then just use this simple yawning technique. To me, it's a lot more effective than doing any slow, deep breathing. It works quickly. So that's it for today. I've got stuff to do. This morning, we are at Camp Wauwatosa on Lake Serenepigam. We have the arrival of 4 new cabins for our large camping area. So I have to get down there while they deliver these and make sure they get put in the right spot and work out any bugs that may be encountered along the way. So you have a fantastic day. Make the most of it, and we'll catch you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.